If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interest, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that is in Jesus Christ, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of God for the people of God.
Let the same mind be in you as was in Christ Jesus, who, though he knew himself to be one with God the Father, did not count equality with God as something to be exploited, but instead emptied himself, taking human form, and taking on the role of a servant. Some translations say slave. And being in human form as a servant, remained obedient to God, even to the point of death upon the cross. It's amazing over the years how certain scriptures come back to me over and over and over again as a kind of touchstone, a kind of foundational principle. Not that I live by them without fail, not that I am perfect in giving them expression in my life, but that when there is any question as to what this Christian life is all about, they offer me a way to reconnect. Let the same mind be in you as was in Christ Jesus. I did a little internet search this morning. Wondered what would happen if I just typed into the search field ministries. I came up with Joyce Meyer Ministries. Joel Osteen Ministries. Kenneth Copeland Ministries. This is one I love. Creflo Dollar Ministries. Never heard of Creflo. Maybe you have. He's out there. Benny Hill. There's a good one. Benny Hill Ministries. T.D. Jakes Ministries. Jesse Duplantis Ministries. And here I am, I just gave them all a little free radio moment to our vast radio audience. Let the same mind be in you as was in Christ Jesus, who, though he knew himself to be equal with God, did not count equality with God as something to be exploited, but instead emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, and remained obedient in that capacity even to death upon a cross. So the point of that little internet search this morning was in this sort of thing that sticks in my brain about these things. How can it be that one is modeling the humility of Christ if in fact you name the ministries after yourself? I've never understood that. Dave Gladstone Ministries. Not too many hits on the internet on that one. Friday and Saturday up at Lake Louise with our confirmation class, 7 of our very best kids, really wonderful kids, another group of kids from the Frankenmuth Church together up there for a confirmation kickoff retreat. And then late yesterday afternoon, brought them down to the fire bowl, built a big roaring fire by the side of the lake, and finally the sun came out. So it was a beautiful, clear fall day there. And I wondered, what is it that I want these kids to know? What's the purpose behind this whole thing called confirmation? Is it that I want to get them to think the right thoughts about God? Well, I do want them to think about God, and I do want them to think vigorously about God. That's true. But instead, I read the Emmaus Road story, you know, the one where Jesus joins Cleopas and the others after all the crucifixion and resurrection. Jesus joins them on the road to Emmaus, and they don't recognize him. So they tell him about all the things that happened. And they basically say to Jesus, where have you been that you don't know about any of these things? And then as the day wears on, they say to this stranger who is in fact Jesus among them, they say, stay and break bread with us. And it is in the breaking of bread that they recognize him. And then he disappears. And they say, did not our hearts burn within us as he explained all of this to us? And I told the confirmands this story that I've told you before about that magnificent harvest table that my family once had, the one that I thought was so small and could accommodate only a small number of people. But then I discovered to my childish horror at the time that table, when you pulled on it, extended out an enormous length with like 17 leaves that went into that table, so that all of my mother's weird relatives had a place at our table. And I said to the kids last night, it's true, I want you to think about God. It's true, I want you to examine what you think about God. But my real goal in this thing ahead of us called confirmation is that you find your place at the table of faith. That's what I care about more than anything. That you find your place at the table of faith. And that no matter how weird you may think yourself to be, as adolescent kids always do, God's table is big enough to accommodate you, to welcome you. That's what I want them to know. Well, what does that have to do with the second chapter of Philippians? Let the same mind be in you as was in Christ Jesus, who knew himself, although he knew himself to be equal with God, did not count equality with God as something to be exploited, but instead emptied himself, taking human form and taking the role of a servant. Well, I'll confess to you that ego has been a pretty significant driver of my life. I know that's not true for you, but it is true for me. I've wanted always to do well, but I've also wanted people to take notice and to appreciate and to tell me they appreciate it, because it makes me feel good and it makes me feel worthy. Validation. And in that mix, there is always an element of servanthood. But in ministry, there's a trap, and that trap is that we offer ourselves in service so that people will appreciate how serving we are and congratulate us and tell us that we're great servants. It's a little round robin thing that we get into in ministry. But that's not what Christ did. So there comes a point when that claim upon our lives becomes so imperative we can no longer ignore it, we can no longer manipulate it into something that resembles the claim but really is something else. I don't know if that's clear to you at all. Maybe it'll become clear. Philippians 2 is a great passage. We love to sing it in the church, to recite it in the church, but frequently we ignore the demand that it places upon ourselves and instead jump immediately to verse 9. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that the name of Jesus, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I have no problem with that, except that if that is all we see in the second chapter of Philippians, we have skipped over the very thing that places a demand upon ourselves. Because it's easy to praise the name of Jesus and to bow in reverent devotion to him and ignore the part that says, let the same mind be in you as was in Christ Jesus, who, though he knew himself to be equal with God, did not count equality with God as something to be exploited, but instead emptied himself and became obedient as a servant without expectation. In seminary, they put a fancy Greek word to that, a Greek name to that. It's called kenosis. Kenosis simply means emptying. So I stood in front of the confirmands yesterday afternoon late, knowing that I had to get in the car and get back here, and wanting that not to be as late as it looked like it was turning out to be, but I needed them to know that more than anything, I want them to find their place at the table of grace. And that rather than worry about who they are and how acceptable they may or may not be, to simply see themselves as a servant of God in whatever capacity life may offer to them. I need to thread a narrow path here today. Because I want you to hear the message of Philippians 2. I want you to take it into your own heart and examine how it might take effect in your own lives. And I am fearful that speaking honestly may misdirect our worship to a worry about what's happening with Dave and Terry. What's happening with Dave and Terry is that we are being well cared for by this congregation and by the Detroit Annual Conference. And we are grateful, very grateful for that. And for me, this is a moment in my life when that word from the second chapter of Philippians becomes so abundantly clear. It is my moment to let go of many of the things that I thought brought identity and purpose and approval my way. To let it go. For the sake of fulfilling the in sickness and in health portion of those vows we take. It is an emptying, and it is my time, and you have allowed it, and I am grateful. I do not know what lies ahead. In the summer of 2009, when Terry's illness became known to us, I was full of confidence and hope that there'd be a procedure, a surgery, it would be gone, she would recover, and we would say, "Oh, that was close. Life sure can be difficult sometimes. Now, let's get on with the rest of our lives." But instead, the disease has been persistent, and it has come back every time, and each procedure has brought her more discomfort and harder recoveries, and it is just the way it is. So in the 6 months ahead, I get to let go and focus upon servanthood toward her. You won't find Dave Gladstone Ministries anywhere on the internet. It's the ministry of Jesus Christ, and it takes a different form in each of our lives, and this is what is required of me in this moment. It is difficult. And it is holy. Thanks be to God.